Hi, and welcome to South Florida Opinion Live with the Sun Sentinel Editorial Board. I'm Rosemary O'Hara, and I'm joined today by my esteemed colleagues Gary Stein and Alana Sims. Sad to say, we're missing a seat there at the end of the table. Our colleague Andrew Abramson has decided to enter a new chapter in his career, and we miss him already. This show is about South Florida. Our focus is South Florida, although we talk about issues in the news, things that are coming up that we might write about, and so much is happening in Washington, and we can't help ourselves, like you, from being mesmerized by all that's happening there, though we try to talk about news with a spin, a South Florida spin. And so we want to take questions. If you have questions, if you could type those into the Facebook comments. And also, this show is available to you on podcast. So you can find us wherever you download your favorite podcasts, including sunsentinel.com/podcasts.
Listen in the car, wherever you're going.
Send in your comments.
Yeah.
That's right. So join us in the conversation on Facebook. So let's see, what's first on tap here this morning, Gary?
We are talking about your tax money and the President Trump and his often visits over to Mar-a-Lago, which have been costing the Coast Guard apparently $6.6 million for his. Ooh, that's nice. I like that. There's so many tentacles. There's a lot of tentacles to this story. First of all, the Coast Guard is being trimmed back, the cutbacks to the Coast Guard coverage, and apparently the Coast Guard hasn't been able to, according to the story, Coast Guard hasn't been able to do some of the drug searches, etc., because we don't have enough planes, we don't have enough ships.
And they've cut back on repairs to their fleet.
And they cut back on repairs, yeah. But they can't cut back on what they're spending to protect the president. The president is spending, apparently, more money in the first year than President Obama spent in 8 years on travel, and the Mar-a-Lago thing is you know right up there with what it's costing.
In addition to the Coast Guard, it's costing the County of Palm Beach.
Right.
Our members of Congress are trying to get the county reimbursed for it. It costs money for security and preparation. Mm-hmm. When a president comes to town.
It's also, he mentioned last week in his supposed transgender ban, the cost of having transgender health care.
Right.
Which is a minuscule part of 1% of what we're spending for the security at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
On
yeah.
one trip.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of tentacles to this story. And basically, you know, this is a guy who was going to cut back on spending and cut back on government, et cetera.
Well, so much of what he wants to, his budget, which though, let's say, was DOA when it landed on Capitol Hill, was about cutting money in order to put more money into defense. Remember, America spends 8 times the budget of the next, spends more than the next 8 countries combined in what we spend on defense. This week on the editorial board, the new Rear Admiral for the Southern District of the Coast Guard is coming in to visit us. Mm-hmm. So if you have questions that you think you would like to see us ask him, please type them in. But you know, the Coast Guard not only helps protect the president and his waterfront estate, but it helps protect our shorelines from illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. That's a big issue for the president. It protects our society from drugs and drug runners and terror. Yeah, you know, during World War II, weren't there some U-boats just off the coast?
You know, we're going into the cost there. We don't seem to have the cost yet of what it's costing every time they went to New York.
And you
should also remember that every one of these trips that the president takes basically is to one of his properties and is increasing the value of his property, increasing his brand. Basically, he's making money off every one of these trips that's costing us money.
Right. Okay, ding, ding, ding.
New topic.
Okay, this is our handy dandy new tech timer. Okay, what's our next?
Legal fees.
More government spending. God, runaway government spending. Mm-hmm. What do we know about this? Gary, take the lead again.
Yeah.
Are you going to talk about this?
I got another one, so this is all you.
Well, I have heard that they were spending $67 million or something, or $267 million on outside attorneys and
the
legal.
The state of Florida.
Right.
Like $290 million, the Associated Press reported.
And some of these, the amount of money that they're spending, some of these are on real, you know, wild goose chases. The same-sex marriage cost us how much? They wouldn't stop with that. They kept going and going, even though every court was telling them they were wrong. They kept building up the legal fees on that. Last week, we got word that the Docs and Glocks battle, which went on for a while.
And let's remember, what is Docs and Glocks?
Right. They were telling doctors that they couldn't ask patients if they had a gun in their house.
Yeah.
They weren't going to take the gun away. They just wanted to make sure that maybe the gun was protected if they had kids in the house.
Right.
But that's, you know, we didn't want to let doctors even, that's a First Amendment right.
Right.
But we wanted to take that away from them. Cost us $1.2 million of your money to do this.
They just came off the citrus canker battle.
The citrus canker battle, yeah. Which they, well, you know something? But they won't pay those people.
Right.
And which is incredible. So that's going to go keep staying in court. It's going to cost more money when they want to give up that battle.
You expect that government is going to have to go to court. I mean, government sets laws, and they're going to have, and people are going to challenge laws, and they have to defend them in court. But the amount of fees that the state is paying under Governor Scott is over the top. I mean, who gets paid $640 an hour? God knows.
Not even journalists.
You know, no, a week, you know? And so the legal fees that we're paying are through the roof.
I don't know who audits that stuff either.
I don't know that anybody audits it.
You know, that's really a question.
Well, and thank God for the media, you know? Thank God the Associated Press did the work and tallied it all up for these legal challenges. You know, okay, if we want to have a fight with Georgia about the water that's flowing down I'm all for that. But do we really need to relentlessly fight in court the gay marriage ban or
gay adoption,
drug testing welfare recipients? You know, it's that is the first reflex of our governor and our attorney general, court.
Yeah. Exactly.
With a $640 an hour lawyer.
I'm in the wrong business.
I know.
Maybe I'm still young enough to switch
over. There goes our timer.
We're moving fast today.
Oh,
woo. All right. Number three is Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Oh, my God. You guys are keeping this.
You're working hard today.
I should be
doing the lead on all this.
I should be making $640 bucks an hour. Anyway, Debbie is back in the news, and it's kind of a tangential thing concerning this IT specialist who she had on the payroll, on her payroll, and it was on the payroll of 25 other congresspeople, and he apparently is a very bad person who was stealing equipment, stealing computer equipment, et cetera, et cetera. They finally caught him up with him at the airport as he was trying to leave the country, go to Pakistan. And now he is, they took away his passport and he's in all sorts of problems. The question is, how much is Debbie Wasserman Schultz involved here? And it's a bigger question is why she kept him going. She was the last one of congressional people to fire the guy. He'd been fired for the last few months by other congressional people because they knew he was under investigation. She kept him going, and there's all sorts of reports about what she was using him for. Did she use him in a battle against Bernie Sanders, which basically wound up costing her job with the DNC? We've got the Republican National Committee chairwoman says that there's a media conspiracy, which they like to use a lot, that the left-wing media has not reported the story. Well, it's been very heavy in the right-wing media. I don't know. There's just a lot of questions she has to answer. She's basically said that she didn't want to get rid of him before because she thought that was profiling because he's a Pakistani and that it wasn't right until he got arrested. Well, he got arrested last week and she fired him. What she knew, what she was using him for, they're calling for congressional investigations of this. You know, how far it'll go, we don't know. We're certainly going to keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's what I would say. I don't feel like I have an informed opinion yet on this issue. I think that though it is something that we're going to be looking into this week, if there's information that you all think that, you know, should be surfaced, it is an issue that we're going to be digging into this week.
She remains a lightning rod, even though she no longer has the authority that she had a year ago. I mean, the right wingers can't stand her, you know, and she, anytime her name is in print, I mean, they go after her, and then maybe some of it's justified.
And she's our congresswoman.
And she is our congresswoman from Weston.
And she's very well liked. She
and she's powerful.
Drew still. A big challenge last year from Tim Canova, who's running against her, has announced he's running against her.
I haven't heard Tim Canova on this part yet, but I'm sure we will.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the guy, he filled out, there's some fraudulent application for a home mortgage, and
right,
how also, he was dealing with his houses.
And his whole family was involved, too. Mm-hmm. And they were getting, apparently over the last couple of years, they got $4 million from Congress to work for Congress on the computers. And he wound up, before they arrested him, he busted computers and was stealing some computer, gear and stuff. And so there's a lot of questions about him. How Debbie fits into this, we're just going to have to keep our eye on it. It could be an important story.
Right. Okay.
Now, don't bother
moving
me anymore.
Oh, no. Moving right along.
This past weekend, the president was in a New York suburb giving a law and order speech to law enforcement officers, and he kind of went far left field in his comments. He said that he's calling gang members animals, and he said that those thugs, when you put them into the car, don't mind protecting their heads, just push them right on in there. Don't be too nice to them. The commander in chief of the country advocating, maybe not advocating, but kind of urging roughness with people who have not been convicted of crimes.
That's
yet.
Right. What happened to innocent until proven guilty?
You got to remember, Trump plays to his base every second. And this plays to his base. In middle America, they're saying, yeah, bash their heads. This is what, they love what he's saying.
Until it's their kid.
Until it's their kid. But he plays to the 30% of the American people who love what he says.
We have a system of justice in this country. People are innocent until proven guilty. And, you know, we shouldn't allow vigilante justice to be the method by which we convict people. Let the law decide if they're guilty or not.
That's right.
Police brutality is a pretty big issue.
It is. You know, and we had a story on our local cover about Sunrise Police using funding, not their own funding, but funding from drug money to barbecue, make hot dogs and hamburgers, and give these food out to the community. And it may seem minuscule, but these are just little steps that we can do to repair the breach between the community and police. And then you have the commander in chief just going off and making suggestions like that.
Well, you know, and it was unfortunate too to watch the police officers who were in the audience cheer. But fortunately, the leadership of the department, the International Police Chiefs Association,
have
come out against it. Gainesville Police Department says, you know, we've got higher standards than that. Mm-hmm. We don't believe in police brutality, mm-hmm. and neither do the rest of us. You know, nobody wants to coddle people who kill people.
Absolutely not.
But we have a system for dealing with it. Mm-hmm. So
they're innocent until proven guilty.
That's right.
And you know,
that's
when
right.
are we going to hear from the Republicans in Congress who to call out the president's bad behavior, his bad comments? You know, last week was just full of potty mouth language from the White House. We can't even say what the president's communications director said about, you know, one of his strategists. Going after Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General. When are the Republicans going to stand up and say enough? And clearly, if he advocates police brutality, is that enough? Didn't he also say, I remember during the campaign, he's like, when he was speaking to people in the African American community, you know, what have you got to lose with me?
Right.
Well, you know, what about those who care about, you know, the Black Lives Matter? Is this the way to build trust and rapport in our communities?
Minority. will not are afraid of it losing his base. They don't want to lose those people. They're up for re-election next year, and if they lose too many Trumpers, they could lose. You know, they could lose their seat. That's why I really respect the people like Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, and of course John McCain. I think is great, who stood up to him last week.
Yes.
And you know, they need more of that, but I don't know that you're going to see it until at least after the 2018 elections.
Right. Let's hope. Okay. Well, that's do we have any parting thoughts?
Oh. Yeah.
Parting thoughts.
Gary's got one.
Oh, what is it?
I went through a lot of expense to bring a prop. this is an umbrella, which if you looked outside today, you may notice that you need it. A couple of things about the weather. If you go outside today, you may notice that we're probably under 90 degrees, which should be the first time in about 6 weeks that we've been under 90 degrees, mainly because of the rain. But the rain has also brought some problems. We've got a tropical storm, Emily, which is now 31 counties are under emergency watch from the governor, including Broward and Palm Beach. We're not going to get hit, but we may have an awful lot of rain. What this should be for everybody is just notice that hurricane season is about to hit the strong part of the hurricane season. Middle of August to middle of September is the busiest part of hurricane season. Just be aware.
I mean, isn't it amazing how fast the flooding fills up on the streets?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, geez, it hasn't rained all that much, and yet, like, you know, I was driving through a lake on my way to work this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see if Sawgrass Mills.
A lot of cities are not prepared for this. Anyway, it's coming, so.
Here we go. Well, I have a little snowbird. Isn't he cute? Ted Deutsch.
I know.
Ted Deutsch has introduced a Canadian Snowbird Visa Act. So if you're over 50 and you own or lease a residence in Florida, you could be allowed to stay here for 2 months longer. He's pushing it as a boon for our economy. We could always use more money from the tourists. And so you may have more poutine and some more Quebec license plates floating around for 2 months. But hey, bring in the money and we're happy to have you.
That's right.
Well, let's take a vote on that.
You want to take a vote?
They add to the traffic, but they don't add to the schools, and they pay full boat taxes, no homestead exemption. Well, my weekend was the big thing for my weekend was going to see the Dunkirk movie.
How was it?
Oh, it was big, it was bold, it was intense, there wasn't much dialogue. We saw it at the IMAX theater.
This is apparently the way to see
it. Yeah, you want to see it at the IMAX theater. But then when I was driving into work today, I heard a report about how this summer's movies, women are making a comeback.
Yay, Wonder Woman.
Yeah, now, Wonder Woman. And
I saw a good one over the weekend, The Big Sick, which is awesome. Just maybe the best movie I've seen this year.
No kidding.
Absolutely. It's a romantic comedy and a drama, and I would recommend it to anybody. It's got great reviews.
Oh.
And
Who's in it?
Well, Ray Romano is in it.
Raymond.
Raymond, right, and it's some people you haven't seen. It's about a Pakistani stand-up comic who falls in love and the complications that take place. And it's a true story.
Cool.
I would recommend it to anyone.
Put it on the list.
Yeah. We'll talk about it next week. Okay, everybody.
Right.
Hey, happy Monday. Be safe out there, and we'll see you next week at noon for South Florida Opinion Live with the Sun Sentinel Editorial Board.
Have a good week.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.